Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by The Athletic. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can follow me on Twitter at FPL General for all things fantasy football. With Game Week 9 now behind us, we are roughly one quarter of the way through the campaign. It's back to being a Friday deadline this week, 6:30 p.m. UK time, so make note of it, maybe set a reminder on your phone so that you don't get caught out. My main piece of advice again this week is to do nothing until Friday. We are seeing more and more players being ruled out due to COVID issues, and there's also Champions League and Europa League games this week, which can always give us a few headaches for FPL. Sit on your hands for now and play the patient game. A quick reminder of some of the things that happened in Game Week 9. Chelsea kept yet another clean sheet, while Timo Werner scored 5 points when it really should have been about 15 points. Very unlucky for owners there. Our Aston Villa assets let us down, losing at home to Brighton, unless you owned Ezri Konsa, of course, who scored. Son and Kane returned again in a 2-0 win over Manchester City. Bruno Fernandes needed 2 bites at the cherry from the penalty spot to reward those who captained him. Calvert-Lewin scored his 9th and 10th goals of the season. What a pick he's proven to be this year. Leeds battered Arsenal but couldn't find a winner in a 0-0 draw. Good to see them keep a clean sheet there. Liverpool were very impressive in a 3-0 win over Leicester. Diogo Jota and Andy Robertson in particular impressed in that one. While on Monday night, Burnley did a Burnley, winning 1-0 at home, much to the delight of Nick Pope and Charlie Taylor owners. If you're not yet a subscriber to The Athletic, you can get it for £1 a week by visiting theathletic.com/FPLpod. In doing so, you'll be able to listen to ad-free versions of this podcast, read my weekly FPL column, and also take part in the very fun FPL Q&A that myself and Ben Dinnery do every Friday. Unfortunately, there is no new members to the 59th Minute Club this week. Very disappointing for me when that happens. I think that might be the first time this season that we haven't had a shout out on the podcast. A couple of notable mentions as usual. For West Brom, Carlin Grant and Grady Diangana were very close. They managed 61 minutes each. Also for Fulham, Tom Kearney and Bobby Reid were taken off after 57 minutes. And for Leicester, Harvey Barnes just about managed 61 minutes. So Barnes, he didn't start the previous game. I think he got 18 minutes in that one. And then he only got 61 minutes in this one. So I don't think he's completed 90 minutes now for about 4 or 5 games. So that puts me off Harvey Barnes as a pick. Although Leicester do have some very nice fixtures coming up. So he could do well if he can get more minutes. A notable mention here as well. Someone just sent me a tweet actually this morning that, again at Leicester, Ricardo Pereira, who's working his way back to fitness. I think he played for the under-23s. And yes, he was taken off in the 59th minute. Now, he's not going to get invited into the club because it wasn't a Premier League game, but we'll keep an eye on him when he gets back on the pitch for the Leicester first team. A quick review of how Game Week 9 went for me. It was another very good one, so I followed up, I think it was 77 points in the previous game week, and now I've got 82 points in this one. So over the course of 2 weeks, I've gone from about 450k overall, jumped right up into the top 100k. I'm sitting at 83,000 overall now. So it just shows you, if you can put 2 good game weeks back to back, you can rise very quickly through those rankings. I made one transfer. I was hoping to bank the transfer last week, but Salah's COVID issues forced me to act. I got rid of Salah because I thought there was a chance he may miss more than one game. Doesn't look like that now, so I need to ask myself, do I get him straight back in? I sold him for Bruno, and I made Bruno captain, so that one worked out well. That transfer got me 22 points thanks to that Bruno penalty. It was a roller coaster couple of minutes when he missed the first penalty. It was I was mid-conversation with my wife about something, and I just said, can you just give me a minute, because my captain's after missing a penalty here. But thankfully, VAR helped me out there, and then we resumed our conversation after he scored the second one. 82 points brings my total for the season to 583. As I said, rank is now 83k, so very, very happy with how this season is going. The first quarter of the season has gone very well. I've put myself in a good position now to, a platform for me to build on for the rest of the campaign. The good and the bad, there was more good than bad this week. Bruno captain 22, Calvert-Lewin 13 points, Robertson very welcome 12 pointer. So the faith in Robertson was restored after a run of 2 pointers. The plan was to get rid of him for a Manchester City defender now for game week 10, but given how well he played in that one, it's going to be very hard for me to sell him, and I think I'll probably end up holding on to him now. I'll come back to that later because there's going to be questions about that. Heung-min Son, plenty of questions about this man as well. 10-pointer, can I sell him now? Again, like Robertson, probably not. I just can't bring myself to sell a player who scored 9 goals in the first 9 games of the season, regardless of what the fixtures are. Chilwell, nice signing a couple of weeks ago, another 7-pointer. Charlie Taylor topped off my game week with a clean sheet and a bonus point. And Harry Kane got a 4-pointer, which is not great. The yellow card was disappointing, but it's, I always say, 4 points is a lot better than a 2-pointer. The bad, the usual suspects here, Aaron Ramsdale. I think it's a serious achievement to be in the top 100k, having owned Ramsdale all season, because I've effectively been playing with 10 players every week. I don't even know if he's broken the 20-point barrier this season. In hindsight, I should have got rid of him a long time ago, but wanting to focus my transfers in attack and midfield and attack most weeks, he survives, and he's probably going to survive now until I wildcard. James Rodriguez, disappointing again, just 2 points, taken off early as well. He's really starting to frustrate me now, watching Everton games. James, he drops quite deep, tends to, play the pass to the guy who makes the assist. He's quite lazy as well, so when Everton are under the cosh, he's always at risk of being substituted. So James is on a short leash at the moment. He may survive this week, but I don't think he'll be on my team for very much longer. I think there's better options at the moment around the same price. The Aston Villa guy is disappointing as well. Grealish 1 point, Watkins 2 points. That doesn't bother me too much though, because they've still got very good fixtures. Watkins was very frustrating because Villa were awarded that penalty right at the end of the game. Watkins had the ball in his hand. I was hoping I was going to get a nice goal out of him and maybe a couple of bonus points as well, but VAR, much to my frustration, took that penalty away. So yeah, overall, another very good game week. So hopefully I can keep the momentum going now and keep climbing. I mentioned on last week's podcast, my initial plan for this week was going to be a -4 to get Kevin De Bruyne. So what it would have been was sell Robertson and sell Son and get a Manchester City defender, most likely Diaz, and get KDB. But I'm really not so sure now. Like I've mentioned, how can I sell Robertson after what he's done for me this week? And also, how can I sell Son when he's one of the most informed players in the game this season? And one of my favourite FPL players as well, for that matter. So I think I'm going to end up keeping both of those guys. So if I want to get De Bruyne back, or if I want to get Salah back, I'm going to have to find another way to do so, which I'll talk more about when it comes to my transfers at the end of the podcast. The watchlist update is a pretty brief one this week. It's probably the first time this season that I haven't removed any players from my watchlist. Those that are already on it, I didn't see any reason to remove any of them this week. Quite a few of them did well. The likes of Lamptey is suspended now, but I still think he's a good option when he comes back. Antonio is on my watchlist. He's still injured, but again, once he's fit again, I think he's a good option as well. So the only changes this week were 3 additions. So first of all, Mohamed Salah. As soon as I sold him for Bruno, I added him straight back to my watch list because as soon as he's back available, which could well be game week 10, he's going to be back in my thoughts. Salah has dropped to 12.2 million now. So the fact that he's dropped means I can actually make a direct reversal of the transfer I made last week. I've got 0.0 million to do so, but I could do Bruno Fernandes out, Salah back in this week, and maybe captain Salah against Brighton if it looks like he's going to play. So it's good to have that option available to me. as well as five or six other options, which I'll talk about later as well. So Salah is back in my thoughts immediately. Richarlison at Everton, 7.8 million, is another player added to the watch list. He should have scored more than the 5 points that he did against Fulham. He looked pretty good on his return from suspension. I don't actually mind the Calvert-Lewin-Richarlison double up, because at this stage, most engaged managers have Calvert-Lewin, so we're not really gaining with him unless we captain him. So I like the idea of maybe getting Richarlison in alongside him when Everton have some good fixtures. I think Richarlison, I think he's under 5% owned, so he's a big differential. If you're looking for a new striker, even if you have Calvert-Lewin already, don't rule out going for the Everton forward double up. I would rather own Richarlison now alongside Calvert-Lewin rather than James Rodriguez. The final player added this week, Stuart Dallas. Pretty sure I removed him from the watch list last week because Leeds were conceded so many goals. Good to see them getting a clean sheet against Arsenal. What I like about Dallas is he's playing in midfield a lot now. So Alioski has been playing at left back, which has allowed Dallas to move into midfield. Now, when Ayling went off injured, Dallas did move to right back. So he's a very versatile player, which I think makes him a good fantasy pick, because Bielsa can play him in almost any position across midfield or defence. So there's always a good chance that he will keep his place in the starting 11. So Dallas, he almost scored against Arsenal. Leno made a very good save to deny him. So that again shows us what he can offer as an out of position player.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh, and despite literally spending months of my life playing Football Manager, I'm still terrible at it. That's why I'm launching the Football Manager Show, the latest podcast from The Athletic. Every week, I'll speak to the people who know the game best, the people who make the game. We'll take a proper look at things like training, recruitment, and tactics. We'll try to answer your questions. We'll do everything we can to keep you eager to play just one more game, and altogether less inclined to quit without saving. The era of Cherno and Tonton and dear sweet Michael Duff is over. The new Football Manager is bigger, better, more challenging than ever. And I need some help. If you do too, you can subscribe now. Just look for the Football Manager Show by The Athletic, wherever you get all your other podcasts. It starts in November, and knowing my track record, I'll be unemployed by December.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Moving on now to the questions from Twitter. A new record of replies was over 150 questions asked in the last 12 hours. So as always, I've picked out the main ones. The first four or five questions, I've bunched them all together because there's so many questions about the likes of Liverpool assets, Son and Kane, Manchester City players, defenders. So I've gone four or five, you know, similar questions for the first half, and then there's a few other ones to finish up the question section this week. So the first one comes in from Andy, FPL Teach Modes. What's the bigger priority this week, getting KDB or Vardy? So Andy says he can get either of them for a free transfer. Now, looking at fixtures, first of all, if you look at Manchester City and KDB, they've got Burnley, Fulham, Manchester United and West Brom, so very, very good fixtures. Three out of four very good fixtures there, at least. They'll probably beat Manchester United as well. When you look at Vardy, fixtures, Fulham, Sheffield United, Brighton, Everton, very, very good fixtures as well there. So I can see why it's a tough one, whether you want to go KDB or Vardy. And I think a big part of this decision, and this goes for, you could throw Salah into the mix here as well, it goes for, and probably Bruno for that matter, it's captaincy. What I did last week before Game Week 9, I sat down. I think it's a good idea for everyone to do, and it's an idea I got from the excellent FPL Black Box podcast and YouTube video that's been going this season, is make yourself a captaincy matrix. So look, we're in Game Week 10 now. Maybe go Game Week 10 to 15. Go through each game week. Look at all the fixtures. Write down who you think is the best captain in Game Week 10, who do you think is the best captain in Game Week 11, and so on. And maybe pick out two or three. So who's the best option Game Week 10? Who's the next best option Game Week 10? And see, you know, how... The aim is to have the best captaincy option, in your opinion, as often as possible. And that will dictate then what you do with your transfers. So when I did that last week before Game Week 9, KDB came out on top for 4 or 5 weeks out of the next 6 or 7 weeks. So that's why I was prioritising getting him in this week to captain him. But I think it's not as clear cut now, because Manchester City, they're not the Man City they were in previous seasons. I think they've scored 10 goals in 8 games. They just don't look great when you watch them either. So even with the good fixtures coming up, are we going to see them score 3, 4, 5 goals a game? I would say probably not, given what I've seen so far this season. On the flip side, you've got Jamie Vardy, who's having a very good season. When you boil it down, when you simplify it as well, you know, look at this season so far. How many points does KDB have? He's got 29. How many points has Jamie Vardy got? He's got 61. You know, he's got more than double of what KDB has got this season. So in this scenario, I think now I'd probably lean towards getting Vardy instead of KDB if it's a straight shootout. And I would be quite happy to captain Vardy in those fixtures, or at least in some of them. Fulham for sure this week. And maybe even against Sheffield United and Brighton as well. I think he's a very good option. So if I had to pick just one of those this week, I think I would lean towards Jamie Vardy. I think what we've got to do with Man City is, I think we've got to forget what they've done in previous seasons and try and look at them, you know, with tunnel vision just on this season. I think it's the same for Spurs as well. You know, Kane and Son are doing fantastically well. Spurs are sitting top of the league, I think. So, you know, why should we be selling, you know, very good assets from a very good team this season who have been very, very consistent? You know, KDB, the likes of, you know, Sterling, you know, Mahrez, these guys, they're just not cutting it at the moment. So do we need to jump in right away more in hope than expectation? Or can we just wait a little bit longer to see if they do improve? So that's the way I'm leaning now. I'm leaning towards maybe not getting KDB now. And just giving City another game or two to see if they do improve against the likes of Burnley and Fulham. Yes, you can miss points by doing that as well. But for me, I'm leaning towards sticking to the guys who have been doing well for me, the likes of Son, the likes of Kane. You know, I don't really see any reason to sell them. So going back to Andy's question, KDB or Vardy this week, I think I would go Vardy because I think Leicester have looked better than City this season. You know, Vardy's probably looked better than KDB, even though Vardy is very dependent on penalties. You know, with those fixtures coming up, I would fancy him to get a few from open play as well. Next question came in from Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon says he's got the same problem as me, whether to remove Son for KDB as he's the only realistic option I have to replace. So yeah, this is classic form versus fixtures, which I'll come back to later because there's a form versus fixtures question. The way I'm looking at, you know, I was going to get rid of Son for KDB this week. The way I'm looking at it now is there's no way I want to sell Son. You know, when I take a step back, look at what he's done this season and look at how Spurs are performing. This, you know, people are saying Spurs are not title contenders. You know, Mourinho will definitely be thinking that, you know, quietly, that they definitely are this season. Given that it's a crazy season and the likes of Liverpool and City are having some issues as well, it's a good opportunity for somebody like Spurs to do a Leicester this season. So for me, I think Son and Kane are going to stay. I think KDB is still a very good option. And I'm not really now getting him this week, but it won't be in place of Son. I think what we've got to do with Son is keep him. And if we want to get KDB or Salah, you know, find another way to do so, even if it means taking a -4. So that's what my current thoughts are on KDB and Son. I was looking at Son's numbers, 9 goals in 9 games. He's averaging a goal every 81 minutes. How many goals has KDB scored this season? 1. Yes, he's played less games and less minutes, but, you know, Son's a goal scorer. KDB, you're relying more so on those assists. So would I rather have a goal scorer or an assister? I think it's got to be a goal scorer. So that is, again, evidence telling me to keep Son, which I'm going to do this week. Question from Sacred Silence. What are my thoughts on going with Manchester City defenders? A Manchester City defensive double up instead of their attacking asset. So yeah, I think KDB is the best attacker to own for Manchester City. I don't think you need to double up. So do I like the defensive double up? Absolutely, yes. I think they've been much better defensively in recent weeks. Yes, they conceded twice against Spurs, but I wouldn't worry about that one too much. Always going to be a tough fixture there with the likes of Kane and Son on the counter-attack. I like Diaz, probably is my number one pick from the City defence because he's the safest. But I like adding another one in alongside him. Maybe go for Cancelo as well. So yeah, if I was on, let's say I was on a wildcard this week and I was forced to buy three City players, I think I would go KDB number one, I would go Diaz number two, and I'd probably throw Cancelo in number three and bank on City keeping quite a few clean sheets over the coming week. So yes, I do like that idea. FPL Dave, again on Manchester City, should those without City players look to target them? Dave mentions KDB and Sterling for the turn in fixtures despite the disappointing amount of goals they've scored this season. So yeah, like I said, I think it's 10 goals in 8 Premier League matches. You know, they've scored 10 and 8. We're used to City scoring 10 and 2, never mind 10 and 8. So I think we've got to take this season in isolation. And at the moment, City don't look good. And Pep keeps saying it after the games as well. He keeps mentioning the fact that we're struggling to score goals. So there's serious issues there in attack for City, which puts me off them. Now, City play Burnley this weekend. Don't be surprised to see them go out and score 3, 4, 5 goals. I don't think it will happen because Burnley are a very good defensive unit and they defended very well against Crystal Palace on Monday night. But I'm happy enough to wait until I see an improvement, like I've said. So for me, I think I'd rather prioritise getting Salah back rather than getting KDB because I trust him a lot more with the captain's armband than I do KDB at the moment. And yeah, so for me, I'm in the camp of probably form over fixtures on this one. I'm going to keep the guys who've been doing well for me and I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold off on City for now to see if there's an improvement. Now, I still may go for a defender this week. I may get Diaz, but I don't think I'm going to buy KDB this week. Question from Mohamdi. Should we keep Robertson or get a Manchester City defender? Again, I think I'm leaning towards keeping Robertson here. Great performance. You know, could have had even more attacking returns in that game at the weekend. Looking at the fixtures as well, this is why I want to keep Robertson. I'm planning to wildcard game week 16. So between now and then, Robertson has Brighton, Wolves, Fulham, Tottenham, Crystal Palace, West Brom. So I would say they're, even though they're without quite a few defenders, if they play like they did against Leicester, there's clean sheet chances there in 5 of the 6 games. I would say Spurs, I would fancy Spurs to score against Liverpool. Brighton don't score many, Wolves don't score many. I would fancy a clean sheet against Fulham. Crystal Palace and West Brom also don't score many. So in addition to Robertson's attacking potential, I think there could be clean sheets to come between now and when I wildcard. So Robertson for me, you know, I bought him game week 1 and I bought him and Alexander-Arnold game week 1 and I said to myself, I hope both of these guys are in my team for 38 game weeks. Now, Trent is gone, but Robertson now, I'm back to thinking maybe he could be a player that just stays there all season. And over the course of a whole 38 game week season, he should return a very healthy number of points relative to his price. So Robertson stays for me. It's a bit like Son. You know, if I want to get KDB or Salah, I'm going to find another way to do it and keep Son. Likewise, with a Manchester City defender, I think it's a good time to get a Man City defender. But for me, it will be getting one to add in alongside Robertson rather than to replace Robertson. Question from Toby. What to do with James Rodriguez? Yeah, big question. I'm asking myself this one as well. Now, I don't think it's an urgent issue because it's Leeds next who have been conceding a lot of goals before that Arsenal game, and then it's Burnley. So two good fixtures coming up for Everton, which could see Rodriguez back amongst the points. But again, having a look at it, taking an overall picture of the season, James has basically blanked in 6 of 8 appearances. So there's only 2 games where he's done very well for us. In that position in midfield, quite simply, I would rather upgrade James to someone, you know, who I've mentioned already, or similar prices. I would rather own Grealish if you don't have him, Ziyech if you don't have him, or Jota at Liverpool now, I think is a very, very exciting option, who I think will continue to get starts, maybe not every week, but I think he's playing too well at the moment for Klopp to leave him out. So I like Jota, I like Ziyech, and I like Grealish in place of James Rodriguez. Like I mentioned, Richarlison I think is the best pick now at Everton after Calvert-Lewin. So for me, I mentioned finding another way to get Salah or KDB this week. Maybe James would be my route, so I could sell James, but that would probably mean I would have to sell Kane as well, which I don't mind too much. You know, I'm pretty set on keeping Son, but I'm not tied to Harry Kane at the moment because I do like 3 cheap strikers and having more cash in midfield. So that is something I may do this week. I may take a -4, get rid of James, for Salah or KDB, most likely Salah, and then get rid of Kane for someone like Bamford. I probably have enough cash for Richarlison if I fancy the double up. Again, I'll come back to that in the transfer section at the end of the podcast. So James, for me, he won't be in my team for much longer. Question from Matt Gilbert. Form or fixtures? Question mark. Keeps it simple. He wasn't the only person to ask this because it's a classic stage of the season. You know, we've got Spurs players. You know, Bruno's doing okay as well. But then you've got the Manchester City guys who've got the good fixtures. So do you stick with the guys who are playing well, or do you play the fixtures? Now, I've just made a few notes here and I'm basically trying to figure out what my thoughts are myself. So what I've written down here is I'm usually a fixtures first manager, but when it comes to players who have been doing well for me, I tend to stick with the form player. So I'm very loyal to players who get me points. So that in that sense, I'm probably form over fixtures. For example, Son and Kane versus KDB and Vardy. You know, I'm happy to keep Son and Kane rather than get KDB or Vardy, even though they've got better fixtures, because I'm backing the form players to continue their good form regardless of tougher fixtures, as we've seen with Spurs beating Manchester City. I've written down here as well, maybe I'm more form over fixtures when it comes to the premium assets, because fixtures don't matter too much for them. So I would say I'm probably more a fixtures manager maybe when it comes to the cheaper assets. You know, I've got an Aston Villa double up at the moment because of fixtures. You know, my cheap 4.5 million defenders, I picked them based on fixtures as well. For example, I started Charlie Taylor this week because I thought his fixture was much better than Walker Peters or Justin, and it turned out to be the right call. So yeah, I think I'm probably, to be honest, I don't know. I don't know if I'm more of a form or a fixtures manager. I was saying to myself a couple of weeks ago, I think I'm becoming more of a fixtures manager. But I think the fact now that I'm going to probably swerve KDB tells me that maybe I am actually more of a form pick manager. I'm probably somewhere in between. Question from FPL Commando. Really want a Leicester defender with their upcoming run of fixtures, but which one to go for? So if I didn't have any Leicester defenders, which one would I go for this week? I think I would probably lean towards Fofana at 5 million, just because I think he's a safer long-term pick than Justin. Castagne might be back next week. Pereira probably won't be too far away. Now, Justin, I've got Justin, and I'm not going to sell him until he loses his place, because it's a bit like Saïss a couple of weeks ago. He's not a problem until he becomes a problem. Yeah, you know, I'm going to keep Justin until he actually does lose his place, which might never happen. So I think it would be a waste of a transfer to sell Justin while he's still in the team. But I think this one depends if you've still got a wild card left as well. If you've still got your first wild card, then I would probably go Justin, because at least you've got that wild card to change it up in a couple of weeks if he did lose his place. If you don't have a wild card, Fofana 5 million, I think, is a good pick there. Question from Gustin. Who is the best Saïss replacement? So anyone who still has Saïss, he's got to go now. He's 5.2 million. So I've looked at options at the same price or less. Picked out four: Aaron Cresswell, Hector Bellerin, Stuart Dallas, or Matt Target. So one of those. My pick there, I think, if you don't want to free up a bit of cash, I will go Cresswell at 5.1 million. Final question for this week from FPL Finding Glory, which is what we're all trying to find this season. Finding Glory has Werner. He was close to a big haul this week. Should I stick with him or consider Jesus for the upcoming fixtures? Again, a slight case of form versus fixtures. Werner's been doing okay last couple of weeks. Jesus has the fixtures. What would I do there? I would keep Timo Werner. Watching that game at the weekend, very unlucky. Got into great positions. Poor finishing let him down. So I would keep Werner. I think he's a very good option. Jesus, Aguero scares me off. So quite simply, I don't want a Man City attacker and have to sweat over the team sheets every week. I think Jesus is probably okay short term, but give it, you know, in two or three games time, we could see Aguero get a start there. So I would keep Timo Werner because he's much more likely to play regular minutes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Game week 10, captaincy and transfers now. I'll start with captaincy. Like last week, I think there's an awful lot of very good options this week for the captaincy. I think it's going to be pretty wide open. There's going to be a big spread of captain picks this week. Looking at the fixtures, Vardy at home to Fulham, very, very good option if you have him. Liverpool are away to Brighton, very good fixture for Salah if he's back. Mane, or maybe even Jota, is worthy of the armband now. Rotation probably would scare me off that. But if you have him and you don't have another Liverpool player, I think it's okay this week. KDB or Sterling at home to Burnley, good fixture on paper as well. Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison have Leeds, who, if they play like they did previous to the Arsenal game, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison could have some joy there. Bruno Fernandes, who is always a captaincy option with those penalties, is away to Southampton, which is probably a game that will suit him. We've seen a lot of his returns come away from home already this season and last season. So Southampton will come out and play, which should give Bruno and co. space to counterattack. The big game this weekend, Chelsea against Spurs. I think with all the other options I just mentioned, I would probably swerve this one for captaincy. You know, Werner's an option. Son and Kane are always options as well. But I think those games are always pretty unpredictable, as we've seen with Spurs and Manchester City last weekend. So I think there's enough options this week that you don't need to look to a Spurs or a Chelsea player for the captaincy. What am I thinking? At the moment, in my bus team, I'm on Calvert-Lewin, captain, at home to Leeds. Now, that could switch to Bruno Fernandes before the weekend. But I think my captaincy will depend on what my transfer or transfers are this week. So I'm going to monitor the Salah situation this week. If he features in the Champions League, I think I'll probably jump back in and get him back and probably captain him against Brighton rather than Calvert-Lewin against Leeds. The other options, if I change my mind and decide to get KDB, let's say Salah has more issues and it looks like, if there's any doubts about him playing against Brighton, let's say Klopp comes out and says, you know, because he's been away, you know, he's not up to scratch fitness-wise, which I don't think will be an issue. But if there's anything that comes out that makes Salah a doubt for the weekend, then maybe I will get De Bruyne. And if I do get De Bruyne, I probably would captain him over Calvert-Lewin as well, or Bruno. So, yeah, I think I probably don't own my captain yet in my team until I make my transfers, which will be... It'll be a Friday decision for me this week because, as I'm going to mention now, I've got one free transfer. I've mentioned I think I'm going to keep Son and Robertson, so I won't be doing my original plan of -4, Diaz and KDB. And I just started noting down a couple of options I've got for transfers this week, and I ended up having 6 different options, and there's probably more as well. So I'll go through them very quickly. Option 1, Bruno out, Salah in, Salah captain. Nice and simple. Do I want to sell Bruno? I'm not sure. Option 2, a nice simple defensive transfer, Charlie Taylor out, Diaz in. But my issue with that one is if I bring Diaz in, I'd probably have to bench Chilwell against Spurs, which I don't really want to do because Chilwell can get something going forward in that game even if he doesn't keep a clean sheet. Option 3, Bruno out, KDB in, KDB captain. Option 4 would be a -4, as I mentioned earlier. Could get rid of Kane and James and get Salah back, along with a cheap striker. So Richarlison, Bamford or Antonio, if he's fit, would be the options there. I actually quite like that -4 because I've mentioned a few times this season, I like the 3 cheap strikers. I'm probably not going to captain Harry Kane between now and win a wild card anyway. So I don't mind losing Kane. I much prefer to keep Son, who I think is potentially more explosive and tends to play more as a striker anyway in these tougher fixtures with Kane dropping deep. Option 5 would be James Rodriguez out for Diogo Jota, which I quite like that one as well. But I think a lot of people are in this scenario this week. If you sold Salah, the temptation is to get Jota instead and, you know, save yourself about £6 million. But I think if we get Jota, we're probably unlikely to get Salah back then. So it's a bit risky because you're probably missing out on a very strong captaincy candidate in Salah. So That probably scares me off Jota a little bit, as well as the rotation worry. Is if I get Jota, I feel like I'm going to try and be too clever and probably miss out on Salah as a strong captaincy option. So I don't think I'll do that one unless something happened to Mane, Salah or Firmino this week, and then Jota would be probably a very good option even as a captain. An option six, Kane out, Vardy in, Vardy captain. So as you can see, it's a bloody nightmare this week, transfer-wise, and I'm sure plenty of you are in the same boat. It's a week where I'm kind of hoping a couple of things happen, maybe Champions League, Europa League, that make the decision for me, whether it be injuries or stuff like that, because at the moment I could go any direction of those six. So like I said, Friday decision, it's one of those weeks where it's going to take me quite a few days to process, you know, what's happened game week 9, what happens Champions League, and what I want to do for the next couple of weeks as well. So like I mentioned, have a look at that captaincy matrix, make yourself a captaincy matrix, and that will help you with your decisions. That's something I'm going to do this week as well. Thank you for taking the time to listen, folks. I appreciate it. If you'd like to hear more podcasts from me this week, check out patreon.com/FPL General. Enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe and good luck for game week 10. I'll be back next Tuesday to preview game week 11. Talk to you soon.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.